time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA and regular guest on the show, good Ben Clark, fruit farmer from Clarkdale Fruit Farm, not in your role as gadfly or bon vivant or whatever we would want to call you, commentator of all things Deerfield, but in your role as a farmer and a board member of CESA.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah, and I've been on the CESA board for 8 years now, and our farm's actually been a member of CESA for 25 years, which is the entire existence of CESA. My father was actually involved at the inception of CESA when it was just a grant-funded program that was just getting going, and he was on the original steering, the advisory committee. So we've had a long relationship, and obviously our farm has really benefited from CESA and the Buy Local movement.
For those who don't know the history of Clarkdale Fruit Farm, that farm has been there for a century.
Actually, as you know, it's a prime number, 103 years.
Wow, that's crazy. Is that a prime number? Yeah, I guess it is. Wow.
So my great-grandfather, Webster Clark, who was actually a physician, started the farm. He came out for a house call. It was a dairy farm at the time, and he really liked the area, and he said, I'd like a piece of land to build a house and raise my sons. And the farmer sold him a parcel across the street, and he built a house. And a few years later, the dairy farm was not doing well, and the farmer didn't have any heirs, so he sold him the remainder, which is now Clarkdale Fruit Farm. So the barns that are there and our house, we're actually the second family there. So that was built in the 1850s. And we've continued. My grandfather, Fred, took it over in the late 50s. And then my father came back in the 70s. And I came back, 13 years ago now. So.
And what were you doing in the interim when you left the farm, Rahmspringa style, to go see the world?
That farm.
I said farm by accident.
Jim McGovern's coming out right now.
Yeah, I impersonated Jim McGovern in front of him the other day on the air, much to the delight of several listeners. But my Republican friend and screwed it up again.
As you just said in your best Jim McGovern imitation.
In between, I went to college and then went to Boston and Providence working in technical theater and actually met my wife, the talented Laurie Holmes Clark, who you know, and performing as a shameless plug in the show that just happened this past weekend.
So how does technical theater play out for you as a farmer?
Uh-oh. There's a lot of dance numbers at Clarkdale Jazz Hands time.
Where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
I'd say the most direct is probably the social media posting. One thing I do get comments on people enjoying the composition of shots, and I think I also have my mother's an art teacher and my father had an arts background, so I think I can thank them for those genes. But there's not a real direct technical theater. I mean, obviously I learned how to fix things
and fixing things is a huge part of farming, isn't it?
Yes, it's true.
Yeah,
25 years of CESA, 103 years of Clarkdale Farm was a dairy farm. Maybe you could share a little bit about the changes that went on for how you sold your harvest.
Sure. So when we first started out, so obviously my great-grandfather Webster, he still was a physician. He had basically hired help that ran the farm. But at the time it was pretty much primarily exclusively wholesale. So they would still growing apples and peaches and other things. But at the time, this is back, early century, 1900s, everything was picked, put in boxes, and then it would be taken to major hubs. I mean, Greenfield, there wasn't so much of a big sales area. So they'd truck down to Boston or Providence or Hartford. And this was common. They'd take a truck with 100 bushel of apples, which is nothing these days. But that's how people made money. It was a much smaller scale food economy. You know, there were dairies at that time. There were six small dairy farms on our street up the road, which now there's none. I mean, and these are all, micro, but it's just the nature of things. And over time, so my grandfather, Fred, kept it going. They were getting bigger of actually boxing up and taking to a wholesaler out in Eastern Mass for distribution and then slowly doing a little more retail. But it wasn't until my father came back in the 70s and really seeing the challenges of competing with farming. I mean, that was, when you had more apples coming in from other areas, refrigerated storage, cold cars, all this stuff that people can get a Washington State apple, much closer in season rather than a Macintosh in February, which is not really a freshest apple. Mm-hmm. So my father saw those trends and wisely he moved more to retail, which we stopped packing apples in the late 80s, early 90s. So we now do everything is basically either sold on farm, which is predominantly what we're doing, And then it's local wholesale. So we have about a 10-mile radius that we wholesale everything. So we have no middleman or anything. We're selling it all ourselves.
And that's a sustainable business model for you and several and other help, et cetera, right?
Right, right. And that's the thing is other farms, there's currently only one orchard in Franklin County that still is a wholesale primarily orchard. And they have challenges because they're dealing with, you're competing with a national market, international market even. And everybody else has either, there were orchards that either went out of business or others like Pine Hill and Apex that same as we did, they transitioned to more of a retail because that's the only way you can really keep it going. And luckily, CISA, this area has always been strong with agriculture, obviously, and support. And the work that CISA's done has really, really amplified all that. So any of the retail as well as local wholesale has really benefited from the support that CISA gives us.
And why did you want to be on the board of CISA?
Nothing says the very being charming, bored like being on a board.
No, it was the very charming executive director who was courting me, who happens to be sitting next to me. I felt that coming back and seeing that the changes that were going on in the valley from the time I'd been gone, more of a connection, more respect for agriculture and the food that's produced locally, and just seeing that the benefit that we had received on the farm from the buy local, at that point, CISA was mostly known as the buy local sticker, the yellow stickers, and now there's so much more going on. But that really benefited our farm and a lot of other farms, people I knew who were starting out. And so I felt I wanted to give back to that and help other farmers and, help continue the mission.
And it was your first board that you sat on, right? You were involved in town committees, right?
Yeah, other than like a town board. Yeah, it was really the first.
And now you also have your foot on a slightly bigger organization, yeah?
Yeah, that's true. I'm also a trustee of Deerfield Academy as well. So
which was your alma
similar
mater.
Budget? Yeah. Similar budget.
So I'm very, totally very close.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now we're heading into the deep winter here. While the light might start to increase soon, it's going to not feel that way for a long time.
Right.
What apples or fruit do you have that is going to carry us through until the next season?
Unlike some orchards, we're a little smaller in that we don't have multiple cooler rooms that they can open, seal up and open at certain times. That's how larger orchards and even around here, Pine Hill and Apex are a little larger, and they can store apples slightly fresher for longer periods. We have one just large cold room, which we keep at 34 degrees max, and some other, the early varieties will soften over time. But the thing that we make our own cider on site, so anything that's getting soft, we can press into cider. So we don't really have a lot of waste. We do have some harder varieties. So I brought a little selection here. We do gift baskets this time of year. We do all kinds of things. But we have Pink Lady, Gold Rush.
It sounds Mutsu. Like a strip club.
Well, hey.
Stormy Daniels.
Back to the theater.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the theater background. Yeah.
Back to Providence.
A lot of strip clubs there.
So we do have, there are a lot of really good keeping apples and pears, but then also we have the cider. So like we're making cider now. We have our regular mix, which is regular apple blend, which is about five different apples. We also have a pear cider blend, which is for the holidays, we do some special blends. It's a very sweet, strictly pear. It's a unique item because a lot of people aren't making it because it is, you need a lot of pears and a lot of ripe pears. And we're fortunate that we have enough of a planting that we can do it. And we have a following that people will start emailing me in September asking when we're going to have the pear cider.
So pear parity.
Nice. Yeah. I love it.
And then, of course, people also, with Cider Days, which has passed, but that's a great event, as you know, there's a lot of guys who come up and ladies who want to get cider for fermenting. So we do a lot of batches of filling up 5 gallons buckets, and people take it home. I also say, our sweets, we don't make a hard cider ourselves, at least not
for
sale.
Public consumption.
But the cider really does blend well. I tell people you can blend it with pretty much any liquor. Even like I've had people tell me about cider margaritas and it's,
I've always been like amazed at the marketing job that Florida and California have done over citrus fruit, to think that orange juice could become your morning beverage when it's so acidic, and the fact that it gets reconstituted and all these things when we actually have fruit that carries us through most of the winter and we have ciders that are just incredibly good. We just need to keep marketing.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Apple juice for breakfast.
Well, Benjamin Franklin, he would always start his day with hard cider. That was,
That's what I do. Good Ben Clark, fruit farmer from Clarkdale Fruit Farm, and Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero, folks. Buylocalfood.org.